Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wealth Coffee Chats Monday, April 15th. Hope you're good, folks. Hope you're good. I've got a few of the early birds already in, which is awesome. How's your weekend? Hopefully nice and relaxing. Morning, James. Morning, Alex. There's Luke. Good to see you, team. Quick intros while everything's warming up, as we do, folks. If you didn't already know, Jason Witten's my name. Most of you know that, though. So well done for remembering. If you're new, though, if you are new, big hello to you. Welcome along, where we hang out in the morning, have a bit of a coffee and a bit of a chat about the world of property investing. If you didn't already know, that's what we're into around here. Property, the idea of buy and hold real estate, medium to long-term goal and strategy and plan. But along the way, you might need to do some short-term things to accelerate and improve your situation. So thanks for joining. Good to see you here. If you are new, like I said before, give us a shout out in the chat. Say a quick hello. Friedrich, Fritz, how are you, mate? Good to see you. Fantastic to have you here. Hey, listen, this morning I thought we might talk a little bit about something that might be of interest, having a bit of a chat with a few people about, once you get yourself to the point of, you know, building your base of wealth, you know, what next when it comes to the world of property investing? And quite a lot of property investors graduate or move into small developments. And they're not even potentially developments. We'll talk about that in a minute. But small deals that they intend on selling. Oh, Jason, wash your mouth out with soap. Selling, what are you doing? You know, you guys know the drill around here. I like the idea of buy well, don't sell. But this is the conversation we're going to talk about that. This is the conversation of your long-term buy and hold keepers. Are pretty important to keep in the portfolio because that's where your true wealth comes from, that long-term ownership of real estate. But yes, folks, when you want to make your money work a little bit harder and you've got the capacity maybe or the understanding of how to buy and sell and trade deals, then maybe, some of you might want to do that in your portfolio. So let's have a bit of a chat about that this morning. Thought we might talk about that. Now, you guys may have seen this before. I've done what I call the income engine when it comes to the world of real estate. In the world of real estate, we talk about sort of 5, 10, 15, 20. All right. So these kind of like returns, this is percent. Actually, should have done that on the other side of that, shouldn't I? Percent returns when it comes to your cash flow, your income, and let's just say this is per annum, like per annum returns, right? The returns that you might want to create from your cash flow, your income from your real estate. So let's have a look at that this morning. I want to talk about what that might look like. Now, the first part of the income engine, buy and hold to the trading real estate in a second. So roll with me here. But the first part, hey, good morning, Chris. Good to see you, mate. Hey, Jeff, congratulations. Happy birthday. I think, hang on, Jeff, I've got something for you. This is it.
Happy birthday.
There you go. I got a little happy birthday button there. Anyway, happy birthday, Jeff. Good to see you. Made it this far, mate. Hopefully another 50 well ahead of you, mate. Good to see. Good stuff. Listen, now let's keep going. Buy and hold real estate. Simple, straightforward understanding. How many, put it in the chat, folks. What's the number of property? And we can just call the number because, you know, there's a difference between the number and the value of these properties. But how many properties at a minimum do we need in our buy and hold base, our base wealth? All right. How many properties? Put that in the chat, folks. There's a base number. You might want more, you might want less, but there's a kind of a base number in there. Tell me if you get you involved in the chat this morning. How many minimum, average? Yeah, 5 to 7. Exactly, Luke. It is 5 to 7. 5 to 7 properties. So one principal place of residence. You have 5 in your sort of in your own name, and then 1 in your super. All right. That's my magic mix when it comes to this stuff. All right. That's my magic mix when it comes to how this is your base wealth. This is stage 1, right? The buy and hold long-term returns that you're going to get. And by and large, that is residential real estate, residential return, day in, day out. It is the most consistent return you will ever get. Residential real estate in Australia, it is the most consistent income we have access to. There's nothing else more consistent than residential income. And right now, you know, we're in the driver's seat. You know, a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, it was a different story. Now the vacancy rates are low, rents are going up, and you as the landlord are in the driver's seat. Now, so let's look at stage 2 or the next part of what this might look like. Buy and hold, very simple. Buy and hold, simple stuff, all right? Now, this is still buy and hold, but this section here, we want to accelerate, beef our income up. How can we, from our buy and hold or buy and hold real estate, get more income out of that real estate, folks? Well, this and this is kind of the passive side. Passive is a terrible word, isn't it? It's a terrible word. I don't really like the word passive. But anyway, this is you're not working for it. You're not doing work particularly for that income. Okay. Passive, buy and hold. As we go, what can we do over here? Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, for business owners, commercial, I don't mind the idea of commercial real estate for those who are in business. Buy it, rent it from yourself. Income is very good. You can get up to 8, 9, 10% rental yield from yourself, very genuinely. I'm not a massive fan of commercial real estate in a portfolio for most buy and hold investors. You go and have a look at another one of my other videos about that. Higher vacancy rates, higher cost of lending, you know, the risk is high. The reward can be high. But what can we do in residential real estate, folks? There's 2 or 3 things. Listen, I've got a couple of my properties right now fully furnished. And well, crushing it. So furnished real estate. Is that furnished? And then short let, okay? Right now, depending on where you are, commercial real estate, fully furnish your real estate or short let it or a combination of all of it, I'm getting close to 10% gross real estate. That's right, short stay and furnished, Chris. The other one right now is a student, but rented out room by room letting. Okay. Now that's a bit of a specialist one. It's a bit more difficult. There's sort of short let and specialist or student room to room, room by room is a bit more specialized. And, you know, it takes a little bit more effort and you might need a specific or a special agent to manage that for you, but that you can. So, this is buy and hold world, accelerate your income at the top end. Now, over here, this is where I'm going to talk about today. This, like, small developments of your own like house and land, duplex, et cetera. Okay, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. And the last one over here, which is, you know, joint ventures and, you know, big developments, okay? Bigger developments, and you guys know that we've got, you know, some deals that we do with investors where we're getting sort of, you know, 20, 25, 30% sometimes on cash on the deal. So I want to talk about this one today. Hopefully we've got time. It took a bit of time to get get that organized. Anyway, probably should have made that a bit quicker. So let's dive into the idea of doing a small development deal. And I'll just use an example of something that I know works up in Brisbane at the moment, okay? So in Brisbane at the moment, there's a the house and land world, or the house and land world when it comes to kind of the $1 million to 1.5 million house. Now, if you go and have a look at a bunch of the data, those price ranges are doing quite well at the moment, quite nicely. And there's less supply of those on the market. So if I was to do a deal at the moment, I would go and do one like that, a small development deal. I probably wouldn't chase a duplex right now. You can do duplexes, but let's go and have a look at, you know, what this might look like, you know, as we go along in a deal. So I've chucked some numbers in here. You know, let's say we go buy the land. And I know you can buy the land at the moment for 500, and 500,000. You know, we've got to put out a bit of a deposit. Now, 30%, it sort of says here, but, you know, might be a bit less. And let's just roll with what this might look like when it comes to these numbers. Some loan, purchase costs, whatever it might be. Some holding costs on the land, potentially, and then some expenses. It's a bit of dirt, so we're not going to have any rent on the property for this period of time. So we've got up here, we've got, you know, let's say 3 months of approval time, 6 months construction time. That might vary a bit, 6 to 9 months, but I'm going to just put in 6 months at the moment. And let's say we build one dwelling, okay? So let's go here, and we might change this to 2,000 a square meter, and we might make it, you know, 240 square meters, nice size property. So, you know, we're gonna spend about 480,000 on building the house, and there might be some other stuff in here, and you can put in landscaping and other and whatever it might be. I've put in a 5% contingency. I put in 3% for sales, 1% for marketing. So the total cost of the house is going to cost us 630. The total cost of the land is going to cost us 500. Now, we go over here and have a look at the loan amount. Now, I've put in 6%, but let's put in 6.5, and the construction loan 6.5. And let's see how we go. Let's see what happens here, right? Now, I know we can sell those properties up there at the moment for around that $1.5 million mark, okay? So that's what I know in that market. Chat to Owen and the team at residential R&W, our residential business up in Brisbane, and I know we can sort of sell them in that sort of in that range, maybe even a little bit better, right? So there's six drawdowns. If you look at construction, and that's why I like for you and me, these types of little deals, if we're going to do little trading deals, we make them kind of a, what we call a sub-luxury house and land, because the borrowing is quite normal. It's not really a development. If you get into development borrowing, the world of developing, it becomes a lot more difficult, folks, a lot more difficult. So anyway, let's just say we do this. We can sell that for 1.5. We get maybe a little bit of growth in the meantime, even if I put zero growth there. You know, the total cost, including all of the interest along the way, you know, 1.2, call it 1.25. We've got a nice little profit margin of 18%. 15% or more, that's what we're aiming for. A $272,000 gain, you know. And which is pretty good, right? So who likes that idea? Anyone like that idea of doing a deal, maybe sort of 9 to 12 months, buy and sell? These things are actually quite easy to sell, kind of off the plan almost, if you know what I mean. Yeah, constructed. Brand new completed properties at the moment are just, you know, hugely in demand. Unfortunately, the general public doesn't understand how to interact with the right builder to get these things done. all right, as we go along. So that's how it works. So if, you know, you were getting 5% return here, if you're getting 5% return, if you're getting 5% return every day of the week, you know, day in, day out, all across your portfolio, you know, if you're getting 5% return there, you can beef up some of your returns by furnishing, short letting, student, maybe chucking in a commercial property as you go, and do a small deal. Imagine you do one of those a year. If you've got the borrowing capacity to do all of that, and you've got your redraw facility set up and all that sort of stuff, all you do is capitalize the interest. Okay, there you go. Nice, Luke. And Luke does a few deals, which is awesome. Yeah, $600,000, mate. Absolutely crushing it. Yeah, nice. I love that sort of stuff. These sort of little small deals, once you've got your base wealth sorted, folks, they're sort of bread and butter. And then, you know, Luke's like, all right, I've made some equity. I'm going to keep them. You don't have to sell them, by the way. You don't have to sell them. You can keep them, okay, as you go. And perfect. Yeah, if you've got the capacity to settle a land and capitalize the interest out of the money that you've got, if you've got 150K, you might need a bit more than 150K to do that when it comes to the borrowing. But, you know, so 150 for the land, and then depending on the other borrowing. But you probably need, if you're going to capitalize the interest, another 100 grand. So 250 probably to do this deal. If you're going to capitalize the interest, which means pay for it out of interest that you've got or cash that you've got, or you pay for it as you go. But whatever we go. Yeah, absolutely. That's what we do. Heaps of these deals, folks. So if you need to get in contact with the right person, just send me a PM, a little message, and we can talk about putting those sorts of deals together. At the moment, Brisbane's the place to do it right now. You know, a couple of the other places don't have that margin in those deals as we go. So anyway, there you go. So imagine that, folks. You know, you've got your stuff going on. You smash out one of these deals a year, you know, 100 to 200K. Remember, you've got to pay a bit of tax and that sort of stuff, you know. But, you know, the net amount is not bad. And then, you know, you've got a bit of money in the joint ventures as well. So this is the combination. So, folks, this is really important. Understand this scribble on the board. This is kind of the golden ticket to long-term sustainable wealth and cash flow. Buy and hold 5 to 7 minimum good quality properties. Speed it up a little bit, add some percentage by doing something simple but not too racy. Once you've got a bit of equity, do a deal. Now, this is the thing, right? You don't have to sell it straight away. Maybe, that's right, Luke. I love it. If you can refinance enough equity out of it, dead right, and you don't have to pay tax, then, you know, maybe you get to keep the property. Maybe the rent's plenty good enough. And then get access to some higher returning deals as you go along. That's the drill, folks. It's actually not that difficult to design a really top-notch strategy when it comes to real estate. The challenging part, folks, is to do the right bit at the right time in sequence to be efficient. And that's what, you know, we do it positive. That's why we put together the 6-star team. That's why we've got our coaching and mentoring program to support investors, you know, because this is going to take you, you know, 7 to 10 years to install, and then you need to maintain it as we go. So there you go. Awesome, guys. Well, great to see you this morning. Thanks for joining me on a Wealth Coffee Chat. If you're up for it again, well, let's chat again tomorrow. Let's do it again, round about 8:10, as we do. each weekday. Till then, folks, remember, this thing takes time. Buy well, don't sell. But if you are, then trading deals are going to work for you. Anyway, they're active deals, by the way. Active. Anyway, there you go, folks. That's it from me. I'll mosey on. Good to see you. Thanks for joining. Adios.